In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Brothers and sisters, in today's very interesting parable, the vineyard is the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, and even more so, the promised land of Israel itself. The owner of the vineyard, our fathers teach us, and of which the parable speaks, is, of course, God himself. The hedge around it, the fathers say, is the law, which separated and preserved the Israelite people from the hedonism of the Gentiles. The law was, as it were, a schoolmaster, which taught the chosen people right from wrong. The tower, our fathers continue, is the temple, and the winepress, the altar within the temple. And the tenants, of course, are the Jewish people. When the fruit ripens in the parable, the servants sent to receive it are those sent by God, the prophets, the holy men of Israel, who were sent to remind the Jews that Israel, the vineyard, was not theirs. It was not their possession, but the Lord's. But what happened? One, they beat, as they did to Micah the prophet. One, they killed, as our holy tradition says they did to Zechariah, the father of John the forerunner, between the temple and the altar. And another, they stoned, we read, as they did to Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. Finally, God sent his son Jesus to the vineyard, which he himself had planted. And the Jews killed him as a common criminal outside the walls of Jerusalem. For we read that they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. When the owner of the vineyard comes, Christ asks the chief priests and elders of the temple, "What will he do to those vine dressers?" And they answer him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons." And this, brothers and sisters, is exactly what happens. Within the apostles' own lifetime, God sent the Roman army to Jerusalem to utterly lay waste to it so that not even one stone was left on top of another. Since the Jews rejected God's Son and wanted the whole vineyard and its fruits for themselves, again, the chosen land of Israel, they ceased to be God's people and were cast from the land and scattered over the face of the earth. Christ said the master would lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who would render to him the fruits in their seasons. And so God reaches out to the Gentiles, and a new Israel is born, the church. This is the vineyard which thou hast planted with thy right hand, as we read in the Psalms, and as the bishop proclaims in each parish during the hierarchical liturgy. If you want to see the master's vineyard now, all you have to do is look around, because we are in it. The church is the new Israel. And this vineyard stretches across the earth, everywhere the church is, and where Orthodox Christians gather and pray. And the new winepress, according to our fathers, is the altar. And the new tower is the temple. And the new servants, of course, are the faithful, us and the saints. Beautiful. Yet, we have to watch out and be careful that we're good stewards of this vineyard so that we don't ourselves wind up like the tenants in the parable. For today's parable is addressed not only to the Jews in Christ's day, but also to each of us in a very personal sense. For Blessed Theophylact teaches that the vineyard is also our own soul. It's hedged around with prayer, with our guardian angel, and with our patron saint. The wine press, he says, is the heart, where we offer ourselves up to Christ. And the tower is our inner church where we pray to God. We, he says, are tenants of our own God-created souls. The servants sent to us are all those occasions when God speaks to us or attempts to. He speaks to us in prayer. He speaks to us through his holy scriptures. He speaks to us through the opportunities, meetings, and events of our lives. And he speaks to us through the presence of his church in the world, through her life-giving curriculum, holy tradition. And how do we react? Do we hear him and pay heed? Or do we resist and reject what he sends to us? One way of resisting God, by the way, is to always be claiming to be seeking God's will, when in truth he might have long since made it plain. So be careful. When we resist him as master of our own vineyard, of ourselves, then we're like the servants who beat and stoned and killed his messengers. And yet the heir, brothers and sisters, is coming. Christ will come to gather the fruits that we must render to him in due season. And are we not all called to bear fruit? To be a Christian is not simply to believe certain things intellectually. To be a Christian is to bear the fruit of a life in Christ. What fruit are you bearing? St. Gregory of Nyssa writes, "What good is there in a vine that has been toiled over if there are no fruits for which the farmer endured the toil?" He continues, "What gain is there in fasting and prayer and vigils if peace and grace and love and the other fruits of the grace of the Holy Spirit are absent?" A soul living the life of the church, living Christ's death and resurrection, is called from this life to bear fruit. St. Nikolai Velimirovich writes, "Fruit, fruit, and only fruit does the Lord seek from every living tree which is called a man. Good fruit," he continues, "is a God-loving heart, but evil fruit is a self-loving heart." This fruit, first and foremost, is not a product of ministry in the world. Rather, it's the quality of our own heart. As St. Gregory wrote, "Peace and grace and love." And yet, the heart is connected to a whole person with a mind and a body who acts within the world. So from a good heart, a life of holy activity issues forth. As the Lord himself tells his apostles in the 15th chapter of John, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and" what? "Bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." So, the heart is the first and primary location of the fruit that God would bear within us. And this comes by listening to him and to his messengers, according to today's parable, including the holy tradition of the church, and by putting Christ first in our lives, in our relationships, in our plans for the future, in the daily rhythm of our lives, in how we use our pocketbooks, and so forth. But we are then also called to bear fruit, the fruit of a Christian life within the world, which is seen in many ways, in raising our children in a holy manner, and not tossing them over the hedge into the world with all of its disordered, tangled madness. It's seen in the beauty, the gardens, the architecture, the culture that flows from a well-ordered, well-watered heart and life. And it's seen in the holy activity of a parish, where we each use the gifts God gave us to support the worship and life and ministries of the community as we all seek together to bear fruit from our common life together. Brothers and sisters, as we approach tomorrow, the birthday of the Mother of God, the most fruit-bearing branch in the whole church, whose ministry exceeds that of all other saints, may she inspire us to consider our days and to invest richly in the cultivation of our own hearts and in the cultivation of order and beauty and goodness in the tangled brambles of our dying world. Amen.